own coats of arms, and those of their brother knights of the air. And to be the best of the best, the Ace of Aces, was a new and rare distinction. It was a title that few had the honor to bear, a title that Frank Luke carried for a few short days in the early autumn of 1918. In that hot final fall of war, the legend of American air power was born, bred out of the sweat and sheer determination of men like him fighting in the twilight skies. Luke defined generations of fighter combat jocks. His style was overly aggressive and annoyed more conservative pilots. He approached his balloon-busting battles with a bravado that today is still recognizable among fighter pilots. Far too many people have tried to define Frank by how he died, rather than by how he lived. The myth of his final mission is alluring, and it seems to personify Frank for many people. Having lost his wingman and best friend, he was grounded by direct order, but went up anyway, flying for the German line for a final furious battle. Some have guessed that Frank was angry and bitter, and was taking out his vengeance on the Germans. Others have surmised that it was his defiance of authority and his commanding officer, Alfred Grant, that drove him into the air that day. Grant summed it up best when he took off in pursuit of Luke and was asked what he was going to do. "I'm going to recommend him for the Distinguished Service Cross. Then, by God, I'm going to court-martial him." The image of the last of the men from the Old West pulling out his pistol and fighting it out with a horde of the enemy, just before succumbing to his own wounds, reminds one of the last stand of the defenders of the Alamo. It is an image that embodies what we all think of Westerners, the last cowboys. His last few minutes in Mervaux have been misrepresented, misunderstood, and exaggerated. We want our heroes to be larger than life, and American heroes need to be larger still. They have to be symbols for the rest of the world to admire. While the myth of Frank's death is engaging, the true story is far more compelling. To examine his death and attempt to use that as a template for his life would be a mistake. The real story of who Frank Luke Jr. was goes beyond the skies over the battlefields of France. 90 men received the Congressional Medal of Honor, many decades after the war, as political favors or gestures. Only 4 of those men were pilots. The Medal of Honor is a distinction that is unique among the armed forces in the United States. Only the best of our men and women receive it. It is so prestigious that it is the only military decoration protected by federal law. It is so sacred that it is a federal felony to wear or sell a Medal of Honor if you were not the recipient. It is the highest award our country can bestow on a person for courage, honor, and bravery. Lieutenant Frank Luke Jr. was not just one of the 4 Army Air Service aviators to win the medal. He was the first pilot to receive that honor. He received the Medal of Honor decades before the more widely known Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. Most people who know any American First World War pilots know one name, Eddie Rickenbacker, the top-ranking American ace of the war. His was the name that history chose to etch in our collective consciousness as the pilot worthy of our memories. Rickenbacker knew Frank Luke personally. "Had he lived, he would have put me out of business long ago as America's leading ace. I wouldn't have had a show against him." Rickenbacker is remembered as America's Ace of Aces. But there were a few days in the early autumn of 1918 when Frank Luke held that title. That September, Eddie Rickenbacker was number 2 to a young stallion, a maverick pilot who captivated a nation, if only for a few days. Rickenbacker merely inherited the title from Frank. Frank was a celebrity nationwide. His face and story were front-page news. Men admired his daring.